Yemen's opposition accepts an Arab initiative for President Saleh to step down. Italian fighter jets join the air assaults against Gaddafi forces in Libya. New video emerges of Saudi forces crackdown on protesters. And Saudi-backed Bahraini forces abduct several people in the village of Bani Jamrah. And those were the top stories of 2300 hours. It is 3:30 in the morning where we are in Tehran. You're watching Press TV. Yemeni opposition has accepted a plan by the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council for President Ali Abdullah Saleh to step down. This comes after another day of violent anti-government protests across the country in which two protesters were killed by regime forces. Opposition sources say they have accepted the plan under which President Saleh would quit in 30 days with immunity from prosecution. This as Yemeni protesters took to the streets to denounce the plan. Regime forces have reportedly fired live bullets and tear gas in the southern city of Taiz to disperse the demonstrators. Medics say two people were killed and scores of others were wounded in the violence. Dozens of people were also shot and wounded in the nearby city of Ibb after regime forces attacked the protesters. Similar protests were also held in several cities across Yemen, including in the capital Sana'a. Meanwhile, Libya's revolutionary forces say they have pushed Gaddafi troops out of the western city of Misrata. The city has been under fire from troops loyal to the defiant leader, Muammar Gaddafi. Here is more.
Another day in Misrata and another funeral. This young fighter was one of 25 revolutionaries killed in the heaviest day of fighting for weeks in the western Libyan city. As his body was laid in the ground, the dead fighter's comrades saluted his martyrdom before returning to the front line. After a night of heavy fighting and NATO bombing, the revolutionary fighters captured two of the three buildings Gaddafi still held in the city.
That is Misrata Hospital. Central Hospital.
Only a handful of Gaddafi's snipers survive in central Misrata, surrounded in this hospital by revolutionary forces. Yet they still refuse to surrender. As dazed survivors return to the city's central Tripoli street, the cleanup operation begins.
Ammunition for tank and the people we have been killed by this ammunition. You can see. And this is an ammunition for anti-jet machine gun. It's for, you know, it's not for people, to kill people.
This medical team is searching the ruins for bodies. When we met them, they had already found six of Gaddafi's soldiers lying where they were killed.
First, we are going to collect the people died. Second, we are going to check to the area and make sterilizing for this area. Step by step, we are going to sterilize all the city.
This dead sniper had lain here for days. Many civilians in Misrata fear that others may infiltrate the city in civilian clothes to prevent the revolutionary government reimposing order here. But the return to normality is hampered by shelling from government forces. Now that Gaddafi's troops have withdrawn from the city, his artillery is free to bombard Misrata from kilometers away. While we were filming, this house was hit by a Grad rocket. The family who live here were shocked but unharmed, but the nearby fighters were defiant. Without heavy artillery of their own, the revolutionaries rely on NATO air power to destroy the government's rocket launchers. This fighter is spraying an N for NATO in his vehicle to protect himself from friendly fire. Gaddafi's forces may have pulled out of central Misrata, but his fighters are still shelling the area from kilometers away with Grad rockets. This area is still very dangerous. A piece of shrapnel landed literally centimeters away from where he's standing now. Rocket fire is incoming. The battle for Misrata is not entirely over yet. Gaddafi's artillery has now become the greatest threat to Misrata. Wave after wave of rockets are pounding the city for the second consecutive day. Aris Roussanos, Press TV, Misrata.
Well, like I said earlier, Yemeni opposition has accepted a plan by the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council for President Ali Abdullah Saleh to step down. We are going to give you more on that through our correspondent who is going to join us throughout at some point during this broadcast to tell us the latest on that. It appears that all strands of the opposition have accepted the plan of the PGCC. This is Press TV. Now Italy has decided to increase its air power in NATO-led operations in Libya. The statement from Italian Premier Silvio Berlusconi's office says Rome will allow its air force to bomb selected military targets. Italy's air force has so far been involved mainly in enforcing a no-fly zone and an arms embargo on Libya. Berlusconi has informed U.S. President Barack Obama of his government's decision. He's also expected to call other European leaders. This comes a day after NATO warplanes targeted Libya's capital, Tripoli. Libyan officials say at least three people were killed in the airstrikes. Reports say over 45 people were killed in the attack or were wounded in the attack, 15 seriously. Meanwhile, three more loud blasts have reportedly been heard in eastern Tripoli. Mohamed El Attab, our correspondent from Sana'a, is joining us right now to tell us about that piece about Yemen. Mohamed, it appears this that the opposition has actually accepted the offer by the PGCC. Is that right?
Yes, that's, I have just received confirmation regarding that. The spokesperson of the opposition said that they have agreed on the GCC's initiative with no conservations, because they said they had made some of the adjustments in the initiative itself, that the protesters will continue on the streets, and that they are not going to give the president the prosecution from the immunity from prosecution. They are just going to give him assurances that he's not going to be trialed. Also, the protesters at the train squares now, I have just received the report, and I talked to one of the organizers at the train square. He told me that they are now preparing for issuing a statement that they are going to refuse and reject such a initiative, because they are now the opposition and the ruling party have agreed on this initiative, which is something that doesn't represent what the people and the protesters and the change squares are calling for.
Okay, Mohamed El Attab in Sana'a, Yemen, thank you for that update. Surrounded by popular uprisings in the Arab world, Saudi Arabia has been the scene of frequent anti-government protests since January. Among the public's major demands are political reforms, the release of political prisoners, and also respect for human rights. The ruling Al Saud family, however, seems to be determined to continue its domination over the country. The regime has been escalating its crackdown on the demonstrators.
These scenes show how the Saudi security forces respond to the peaceful demonstrations. The protesters say police fired tear gas and even live rounds in a bid to disperse them. The security forces also stormed houses and detained people. But these are not the only people who've been arrested. A report by the Human Rights Watch shows that more than 160 people have been arrested as part of the Saudi government's crackdown on anti-regime protesters. As the list of political prisoners grows longer, analysts blame Riyadh's Western allies for not taking a hard line over the Saudi behavior.
This is speak of the double standard and the interest of the United States that is only concerned about their own basically their own wealth in Saudi Arabia. They're catering to the Saudi family. They catering because they know that Saudi Arabia sit on a nice amount of oil, and natural gas, and they want to make sure that the oil are flowing and the natural gas are flowing.
The Arab Kingdom has serious problems with youth unemployment, official corruption, and discrimination against women and most religious groups. Some say these issues, along with the government's violent response to the pro-reform demonstrations, have shown Riyadh regime's barbaric nature.
The question here is that the regime, which is a totally barbaric and reactionary, deeply reactionary regime, cutting off people's hands and feet. The treatment in particular of women is outrageous. Rape is countenanced, and any attempt on the part of women to protest the lack of the right to their children, violence against women, and the lack of equal rights is inherent, trafficking in persons and discrimination, the lack of rights across the board is a characteristic of this regime.
In Bahrain, Saudi-backed regime forces have beaten an anti-government protester to death in the capital, Manama. Officials in Salmania Hospital have pronounced the man clinically dead. The hospital has received two other injured protesters, also severely beaten by regime troops. This as the crackdown on anti-regime demonstrations continues across the country. In the latest news, four people have been abducted in the northwestern village of Bani Jamra. Saudi-backed Bahraini forces also raided an all-girls secondary school in the town of Hamad on Sunday. Eyewitnesses say five teachers were detained. This is the second time the school was raided in less than a week. So far, at least 38 women have been arrested and remain in prison since the beginning of the revolution. Among them are doctors, nurses, teachers, and students. The country's Al-Wafaq opposition group has declared Thursday a day of support for the imprisoned Bahraini woman. Iran has rejected allegations against one of its diplomats in Bahrain as baseless. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Ramin Mehmanparast says Bahrain's decision to expel an Iranian diplomat is aimed at diverting attention from the recent unrest and the crackdown on the opposition in Bahrain. Mehmanparast said the decision serves some foreign countries' plan to create divisions among regional countries. On Monday, Bahrain asked Second Secretary at Iran's embassy in Manama to leave the country within 72 hours for alleged links with a spy cell. Iran says it reserves the right to take retaliatory measures. Authorities in the United Arab Emirates have confirmed five opposition activists are being held in custody. Reports say the activists were arrested on accusations of opposing the governing system and are undermining the state security. One leading human rights activist, a blogger, and a civil society activist are among those detained. Officials say the men are being held in preventive custody for investigation. Amnesty International has condemned the arrests and has described the activists as prisoners of conscience. Syrian troops have entered the southern town of Daraa overnight and clashed with armed groups there. Government sources say seven people have been killed in the city, including four soldiers, but other reports put the number of deaths at 25. There are also claims that Syrian forces have sealed off the Jordanian border crossing near Daraa. Jordanian officials say Damascus is trying to prevent people from leaving the country. Syrian officials have rejected the claim and report that all border crossings are operating as normal. Syria has witnessed mass anti-government demonstrations over the past 5 weeks. Daraa is the city where the unrest began. More than 100 people have also been killed so far in the protests. Damascus blames most of the turmoil in the country on foreign conspirators and armed thugs. Pro-government protesters in Syria have held funeral ceremonies for security officers who were shot dead in the recent unrest. Allah, Syria, Bashar al-Assad! Allah, Syria, Bashar al-Assad! The demonstrators called for Syrian unity and demanded justice. Families of those killed have declared their support for the country as well. The mourning ceremonies were held in Daraa, Homs, Damascus, and Mudamiya. The government says the security officers were shot dead by armed gangs on Saturday. Well, the majority of Egyptians want an end to their country's peace treaty with Israel. That is according to a recent poll conducted by U.S.-based Pew Research Center. The poll has found that out of 54% of the Egyptians want the 1979 peace treaty with Israel to be scrapped. Only 36% of those interviewed are in favor of the treaty. Under the new treaty, which was signed between Egypt and Israel in 1979, Egypt became the first Arab country to recognize Israel. The poll has also found that 79% of the Egyptians had an unfavorable view of Washington. This, as 64% of them say they have little or no confidence in President Obama, and 74% of them say the U.S. has a negative or a neutral impact on the political situation in Egypt. You're watching us live. A reminder of this hour's top stories now. Yemen's opposition accepts an Arab initiative for President Saleh to step down. Italian fighter jets joined the air assaults against Gaddafi forces in Libya. New video emerges of Saudi forces crackdown on protesters. And Saudi-backed Bahraini forces abduct several people in the village of Bani Jamara.